Welcome to the Love Me Right Summit. I am so happy that you're here. We have put together 11 amazing women who are here to share their experiences in love and in life, the lessons that they learned, how they healed, and how you can do the same thing. Our first speaker is Nuria McGrath. She is a certified identity-based life coach, a certified meditation teacher, a certified yoga instructor, and a Reiki healer. As a recovering anger addict, people pleaser, and perfectionist, Nuria is dedicated to helping Black women and also mothers with older children get back to choosing themselves and saying yes to what they want. Introducing Nuria McGrath. Thank you so much for coming, and I'm so excited to have this conversation with you.
Thank you, Chanel. Thank you for having me in this summit. I'm so excited about what you're doing for women and what you're providing for women. So amazing.
Yes. I just, you know, it's so important because I feel like some women right now are feeling like they're not going to be able to find a good man. And I just want them to know it starts from within, but there are good men out there.
That's right. That's right. It's almost like you got to bring it out. You know, when you're shining your light, other men see that light and they're like, "Ooh, I love that light. I want to be around that light." And so like attracts like. So if you're having some issues or some negativity or you're feeling vulnerable, it's like, "Ooh, I see that vulnerability. I like that." So like attracts like. Opposites attract and like attracts. So just remembering that.
Right. I always say it's like our inner trauma is like a dog whistle. And so we call people to us with that same frequency.
Yes. And until you heal from those inner traumas, they keep calling people in, waiting for you to heal, waiting and waiting. Just wait. Come on. I just want to heal so bad. Okay. So you need somebody to abuse you for me to heal from this? Oh, what you need? You need somebody to tell you you're not good enough to heal from this? Okay. Got you. Oh, what are you saying that you need? You need to somebody to tell you that you're not smart. That's what you need. Got it. Oh, you need someone to tell you that you're only a mother and that's not enough. That's what you need. Got it. I'll find that person for you. Good. Got you. That's what happens.
Every time. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how, like, what you've been through to get you to this place that you are right now.
Yeah. Became a mother at age 21. I'm starting off there with this one. I was a senior in college. I'm going to get a PhD at 27. And by 30, I'm going to have 4 businesses. I'm going to do Teach for America. I'm going to live abroad, you know, like boom, 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 boom. I remember my mother saying to me, "Well, when are you going to make time for children?" And I said, "Mommy, I'm not like putting that into the plan. So when you don't plan for it, sometimes it just happens." And it was a complete blessing for me because golly, it gave me a whole nother perspective, a whole nother life path. We were chatting before we went live and I was saying I've lived many lives. So I've lived the single mother life. I've lived the married woman life. I've lived the mom life. I've lived every single like life victim life. All of those lives I have lived. The life that I was living when I met my husband, love of my life, life partner, love at first sight, you know, type person was people pleaser. Mm-hmm. I know that when I said that, some people were like,
"Yep, I was there too."
Okay. Or some people were like, "What's a people pleaser?" It's someone who does things for everybody else before they do anything for themselves. They think that someone else being happy or someone liking them is more important than them liking themselves. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it, but for pretty much my entire marriage, my husband is not my eldest daughter's biological father. Now, I didn't force him to take on the role of father. This is something he jumped into wholeheartedly at the age of 25, actually. He was 25 years old. Took on this role of father, actually never wanted me to ask for anything from her biological father. He just said, "Look, this is my kid and we're doing this." But ooh, for some reason, I had it in my head that I owed him something. Now, what happens when you owe somebody something?
You start trying to compensate, overcompensate.
Overcompensating. Oh, I don't want to make him upset because I owe him this. Oh, he's doing this for me, so I can't say this or I can't say that. So I remember one night I was it was the fall, and I think it was 2017. Pretty sure it was. And I was outside raking the leaves, and the sun had gone down, and all of a sudden, you know how in the fall, it just all of a sudden it became dark. And I
Yeah.
looked around and I was like, where did the sun go? And my husband drives up in the car and he gets out of the car and he walks past me as I'm raking these leaves, trying to get these leaves into bags and put them away, and goes right into the house.
Oh.
And I thought, he didn't even stop to help me. Wow. And so I go into the house and I go into the basement, and that's where that's his space. And I said, do you like me? Not love, because the love is always there. Do
Right.
you like me? And he said, I don't know.
No. That's deep.
And my whole world came crumbling down because remember, I did everything so that he would like me. I just wanted him to like me. I was a people pleaser. And here I am doing all these things, and he still doesn't like me. I remember that night I was crying, and I'm a recovering not crier. Okay, I'm one of those people you say I never cry. I'm a recovering not crier, because now, oh God, it's so cleansing. Just allow the tears, honey. When they come up, just go ahead and allow them. It's cleansing. So I'm a recovering not crier. And this night I was crying. And I got up the next morning. And I remember this as if I was looking down on myself. I don't even feel like I was me. I don't know who that woman was. In my mind, I'm on my knees, tears, sobbing, and the words came out of my mouth, tell me who you want me to be.
Oh no, you actually said it. I know people
I'll
think.
be anyone you want me to be. Just tell me who you want me to be.
Oh no.
That was my bottom. And I realized I had lost myself. I was completely lost. And so the first thing I thought I had to do, what I realized was I had to get back to me. And the only thing I knew how to do that was to get back into my faith. And so I started a prayer group, and I just want a full disclosure, I'm not a person who goes to church often or very often or even sparingly. But I love God. And so that is within me. So I started a prayer group with my friends. I started just listening to inspirational music all the time. At this point, what I was trying to do was build myself back up, 'cause I was lost. I had to try to find my. This was the first, these were the first steps. And in my prayer group, I didn't pray. We prayed for each other. I wasn't, God, please help me with this. Is it? I said, everybody choose somebody. And we would go around and we would say, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. And then everyone prayed for each other, prayed for our marriages. We would all pray for our spouses collectively. We would just say a prayer for them. Pray for our children. Who's praying for the kids tonight? Oh, I got them. I'm praying for the kids tonight. All right, you got it. Great. Okay. And we would just do that. I also started listening to this was my introduction to meditation, and I started in listening to Deepak Chopra, The Path to Healing, incessantly. I'm talking about every time I felt like I was about to lose my mind again and forget myself, I put on my headphones, I went up in my closet, I lit a candle, and I would just listen and listen and sit and be quiet and listen. Any time that I had. because I realized that I had to get back to me. And people would say, oh, I'll pray for your marriage because I have friends and I'm a very open person. I've never, it's been hard for me to, like, keep a secret, I guess. And so I would talk to my friends, a couple of my friends, and they would say, I'll pray for your marriage. No. Pray for me as an individual. Pray that I find healing. Pray that I find myself and my purpose. Pray for him too that he finds whatever it is that he needs to heal. And if it is that these two healed people still believe that a marriage works for them, oh my gosh, how amazing. But if it is that we find that this marriage is no longer a contract we want to stay in, at least we're whole people doing it. But the last thing I want is for somebody to pray for my marriage to stay together and it's an awful marriage. And it's unfulfilling, and we're not a partnership, and we don't respect each other, and we don't love each other, and we're not communicating, and we're not having fun.
So important.
So that was my beginning of my awakening to who I am, and recognizing that the only person that it matters for me to be is me. Because you can do anything, everything. For other people to like you, and they still ain't gonna like you. So you might as well just be yourself.
Oh my goodness. Yeah,
It's
that
way too hard.
it's so true. It's funny because my awakening happened in layers because I realized that when I was in like high school, I was like the bulldog friend that didn't cry, the strong one. Someone talking about my friend, it's like, oh no, we're about to I've fought for my friends before. And then when I got to this space in college, I realized some of those same people, I was their close friend and they weren't mine. And so I started asking, I would be doing all these things. And it was just like, I asked God, like, please show me who my real friends are. Or just, I said, make sure all my friendships are good. I remember it was some general prayer. It had nothing to do with them. I thought they were my real friends. And it just, man, they started disappearing, disappointing. And I realized, oh, wow, like it wasn't me because I thought maybe I'm being overbearing. And it's like, no, I'm a dope ass friend. And for people who really appreciate that though, and there's nothing I need to change. It's actually I need to change the people around me. And so you can't do stuff to make people like you. That will never work, especially an intimate partner. That's just set yourself up for failure. Oh my goodness.
Every time. Every time. And so I had given myself this story. I told myself this story that I owed him something, that I had to be liked, that I all of the things. And it was a story. It wasn't true. He never asked me to be anybody but myself. Never once asked me to be anybody but myself. I chose because one, I had grown up in this world where I wanted to be liked by men. I remember when I was very young, and stories get planted early in age. So I was very young. I was a little cute girl at school, and these boys, they would like bring me little gifts all the time. And, they wanted me to be their girlfriend. And so then I had this idea that boys like me, and I had to be liked by boys, right? And so for so many years, I was living that lie that I had to do so. I never did anything when I was a kid. I was just being me, And I liken it to when you're on the schoolyard, when you're a girl, and you're on the schoolyard, you're not chasing the boys.
No, I mean, not always.
You you're
Some girls.
you're Right. Well, most of the time, your chest is out and you're running and shining, and they're like, ooh, I wanna be near her,
Right.
Right? We get older and we think we have to, it's the other way around.
Right. My son has a crush, and I ask him all the time, what do you like about her? He's like, I don't know. You, like you said, it's not anything in particular. It's your aura, who you are. You don't have to do anything. It's just
Just be you.
me.
Just be you. So I went through a lot to choose me. to go back to finally saying, oh, I get to choose me. I get to be the girl running in the schoolyard. I get to be the one who is not that I'm creating Chase, but like I just want to shine. And that's what I'm here to do. So, but the only way that I could learn that and the only way that I can teach it to other people was for me to learn it myself. So I learn all these, like people will say to me, I can't believe you. Like even when I said it, you're like, oh, the words came out your mouth. Yep, that's how deep I go. That's how low I go because I have to learn the lesson so that I can teach it to somebody else.
Yeah, I had too much pride to do that, but that doesn't mean I wasn't, there wasn't levels of a thinking it, right? Like, and it was until, like I've said before, my dad was the only black person in his company, and so he taught me the mask and the code switch and not being myself. And my mom always said, like, whatever you do at night, you need to go to work. And so I always carried that mask and I wore it so proudly. And I would be just miserable on the inside. And I had the I'm fine mask and no one really asked if I was okay. I was always counseling everyone, right? Until my spirit was like, oh, we're done. And it just shattered. There was nothing. I couldn't pretend. People would be like, how are you? I'd be like, I'm falling apart. I can't even hold it anymore. And so it took for that. I completely broke to really put myself back together and learn how to be happy and not rely on outside partners to try and make me happy because it just never worked that way.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And when we recognize that these relationships are here to help us grow, you know, they're here to teach us, then we can break away from the need to be right, you know, and the need to contrive or create the relationship that we want. We actually get to just be in it, you know, even before we came on tonight. I have this thing, and there's a story that I've told myself, and I haven't yet rewritten this story, that it is important for me to cook dinner for my family. So even coming on here, I said I want to make dinner for my family before we come on here, and I just made soup and sandwiches, and that was really important to me. And my husband says, thank you for making dinner. And I said, payment for this dinner is a hug. And we just hugged. And we just hugged for like a full minute, just like a really nice amount of time. And it's those little things where I was overwhelmed. I was feeling frustrated because I had created this situation where I was cooking dinner and I was going to come on here. And I was like, I still got to put some makeup on and try to look halfway decent. And I stopped, and old me would have like this and that, you know, but new me said, oh, just give me a hug, please. I just need a hug. I just want a hug. And then the tension's gone.
I love that. I think it's important too because I used to feel resentment for the life I asked for. So I used to ask for being married and kids, and I felt resentment after a while because I was so overwhelmed and I didn't understand how to really, manage my thoughts. And I would feel resentment. And it took me to read this book from Wayne Dyer called Be Excuses Be Gone. Have
I
you read that book before?
haven't, but I love Wayne Dyer. I've listened to a lot of his work.
Yeah. I mean,
I
in the
love
book,
that.
he was calling me out. It was like, if you don't get it done, it's an
He said,
excuse.
Chanel, you that
Yeah.
book was written. Yeah.
Excuse, excuse. And so I remember in the morning, I'd be like waking up late and the kids would rush out the door with a banana and I would be all over the place. And then I'd said, you know what? It's a priority for me to make sure my children eat in the morning. That's no longer, optional. And so like now I get up at like 3 in the morning and my kids eat before they leave. But it's all about you manage your mind because you've made that a priority to cook for your family, like you said. And instead of getting upset or flustered, you just did it. And your husband saw that you might be on the brink. And he, I love how you can feel the energy and it'll help you to, collect, what do you call it? Calibrate your energy.
Recalibrate.
Yeah.
It's true. And I think what that comes with, there was one time when we were having an argument, and And I'm just letting you know that this my marriage is not like a it's founded on love. So we have a very we always can fall back on our deep love and an attraction to each other. Respect was something we had to work at. Communication is something we really have had to work at. But love is that's our foundation. So if any at any point we're feeling like we're being disrespectful or something, if we can get back to love, then we can move, we can heal the respect or the I know there are some other like very foundational parts of a relationship, and I'm just blanking on the other parts. They'll come to me eventually. But anyway, there was one evening where we were having a squabble about something. I don't even remember what it was because it wasn't important. And I started thinking about like again the how trivial this argument was. And I go down to the basement because that's where he that's his place. And I said to him, I asked him, "You just want to be happy, don't you?" And he said, "Yeah, I do." And I said, "Let's just not argue about this silly stuff anymore." Because sometimes when you just want to feel loved and you've built that as a foundation of your relationship, then in order to feel loved by that person, you create chaos.
Like energy that
You
just
create it.
sometimes.
Yeah, like this is silly. And so from then on, now it's not that we don't get into arguments, but we can dispel them really quickly now because we recognize that both of us want to be happy. And we just didn't have that before.
That's so important. That's the same thing in my relationship. Because we've been married so long, and I say when I met him. Before that, I was just all these bums guys in my life until I realized that I needed to change. And then when I made those tweaks, I met him in like 90 days. So I really attracted him in 90 days. But I was still on my lower vibration, which means so was he. And so as we get a relationship, it's like he doesn't know how to communicate because of his trauma. I don't know how to communicate because of my trauma. My mom taught me to be a single woman, so I'm in my masculine. We're fighting for alpha, right, in the house. And it like once we started doing the healing, you know, we both looked at each other like, I want this to work. Like I want to be old and look at our family that we've created and have this. And he's like, me too. And it's like, you know, let's just not fight. Like, if we have an interaction, let's leave it in that moment. Like, we're not going to be mad all day or treat each other, punish each other. We promise to not do certain things that were really toxic. And like you said, I've been in and out of my love, in and out of love with my husband twice. Baseline love, yes. In love, we've been in and out of that. That's a different level.
It
So.
is.
But yeah, definitely it's a lot of work, but it's healthy work because it's your reflection. So it's always needed.
You're taking the words out of my mouth. My partner has been my greatest teacher because even the things that I would think he was doing that I didn't like taught me something about myself. And I use every argument, every, oh God, that didn't feel good when he said that as a reason for me to ask, I wonder, huh, what in that statement didn't feel good to me. Where is that feeling coming from? Where am I feeling it in my body? Oh, it's a heart thing. Oh, he said something and it really spoke to my heart and I didn't it didn't feel good. Or God, that was a gut. That was a gut check. Oh God, that I feel like he's attacking my person, you know? And so I use those instances. Because anytime you have a really strong reaction to something that someone is saying, spouse or otherwise, there's a really strong belief there.
Something,
Something is, they're hitting on something. And it's up to you to figure out what they're hitting on. Not them, not you, because I was queen of always never,
yeah.
queen of it. You always do this. You
You
never do
never
that. How come I always have to do this and you never get to do that?
Ugh.
Queen of always never.
The victim, yes. Oh,
Oh,
that
yes.
nasty one, the victim.
Oh, gosh. Oh, vi victim, victim, victim. And so eventually I had to go back and ask myself, what is it about this that is making it, for example, my husband used to travel for work a lot, like 2 to 3 weeks out of the month. So again, I was a single mother prior to meeting him. And then when we got married, he was gone for the first, I would say, 10, 12 years of our marriage. He was traveling, and we've only been married 16 years. He was, yes, almost he, in a in like a month. He was traveling a huge amount of time, and then he had the nerve to go on trips with friends.
Uh-oh. No, he didn't. I'm just kidding.
And I was very upset about this. I did not want him to go on trips with friends. I barely wanted him to travel for work, let alone go on a, trip to see a basketball game or go out on a Saturday night, whatever. I didn't want him to do anything but sit in that house and be miserable with me and these damn children. That's all I wanted him to do. Meanwhile, he's trying to run out of the house because he doesn't want anything to do with this misery that I'm living in.
Right.
So, this just happened like a couple years ago. I remember I was envious of him. I realized I was envious of him. I was jealous of him. How dare him choose himself? How dare him take control of his life and go on trips and go to football games, and he loves watching football and going to NFL games. How dare him go to Mexico or go to Costa Rica with friends? How dare him do these things? Oh my God, the nerve. And so I would always say, no, I can't do this. My friends would ask me, go, no, I can't do it. Because if I say yes to myself, I have to say yes to him. If I say yes to him, then I have to ask myself, why aren't I saying yes to myself? So I made a vow with him and I said, I'm not going to tell you no anymore. Because I'm not going to tell me no anymore.
Right.
Because I'm not going to live my life in jealousy and envy anymore. If I am jealous of you, there's something that you're doing that I want.
Right.
So if I want to travel by myself, I went to Peru last year for 10 days by myself. Me.
I love
So
that.
if I want to travel by myself, I'm going to travel. If I want to go on a trip with friends, I'm going to go on a trip with friends. If I want to spend my Wednesday at the spa, I'm going to spend my Wednesday at the spa. I am no longer going to deny you, and I am no longer going to deny myself. And he could, like, he didn't believe, he relied on me to tell him no, because then he could tell his whoever no. Let me talk to my wife first. I told them I'd talk to you about it, and then I'd get back to them because I'm not really sure.
Like, don't use me no more.
You want to go? You don't. That's on you. You've got to make that decision yourself. I'm not. My name is Bennett, and I ain't in it.
I was the opposite. It's funny because my husband would be like, they want me to go to like Reno. I'm like, go. I'd be like pushing him out the door but then I would deny myself. I'd be like, no, I don't want to go. I've got to clean the house. I'm martyred, right? So I got to do all this stuff. And he'd be like, babe, why don't you want to go do these things? And for me, it was martyrdom. And I also think I was just really unhappy, but I always want other people to feel happiness. And I've never wanted to control him in that way because I didn't want to be controlled in that way. Like I always felt like I want to be your partner, like parallel, live our lives together, but like live them, together in each other's lives, not necessarily controlling. Because I never wanted to be controlled, but I still wouldn't allow myself to feel that. And so it took a long time for me to say yes, even when I felt uncomfortable or couldn't find anything to wear. It was like, you're going. You're gonna have fun.
That's right. It's true. Whatever way we do it, we work, we deny ourselves, and then but we're okay with other people doing it. And then you just got to ask yourself why. Why aren't you enough? Why isn't it a, why aren't you special enough or worthy, right, to be chosen by yourself?
Right.
And when we go out, first of all, we get to bring all these cool experiences back to our house because otherwise, you know, I'm kind of boring. So I get to go away and then, ooh, I had this new experience. And secondly, imagine the number of people that you meet out there that you're just there to bless or be blessed by. The growth in my marriage, and my marriage is way better than it was when we started. Because I know myself, I trust myself. There it is. There's the other one. Trust. I knew it was going to come up. Trust myself. I love myself. I believe that what I want matters. My needs are being met by myself. And when you are able to do those, I respect myself. And when you are living in that space, then all of the relationships around you get better.
Absolutely.
Now, how do you get to that space? That's the question, because we can sit all day and say, you need to work on you, and that's how you get better. How do you do it?
I think my first, what I would say first and foremost was managing my mind. Gratitude and managing my mind. The managing my mind part came like when you said, like when we're thinking, oh, well, why can't he go out or why shouldn't I go out? That's maybe let's start there. Like when I was thinking, oh, I can't go out. Those are like intrusive thoughts, you know, or those limiting beliefs. And I always say, ask yourself four questions. I actually got this from Psycho-Cybernetics. It's a book. And it's four questions. It's the first one is, you know, do I have reason to believe that this is true? This first thought. And the next part is, could I be tripping? Like the way I'm feeling. The next one is, would I feel the same way or say the same things if I was talking to someone else in a similar situation? You know, like, would you tell your friend not to go to Caribbean or whatever someone's asking, you know? And the last one is, why should I continue to act and feel as if this is true if I have no reason to believe that? And then once you can answer those all, like, yeah, you know what, you're right, then you can use the method I use is cancel, cancel. So I would say cancel, cancel. And then I'll replace that thought with three positive and true ones and try to start reprogramming my subconscious mind so that I can have positive thoughts in my mind instead of these negative, doom-ridden thoughts where it's just like, my life sucks. You know what I mean? Oh,
Exactly.
important.
I completely agree with you. And those are four steps. Save the what kind of the third one too that are used in mindful meditation. So it's very, very similar. And I'm a meditation teacher. I love practicing meditation with people and with myself. It definitely helps me to get centered. And I get to realize that the thoughts, although they seemingly feel like they're coming from me are not me. I am not my thoughts. My thoughts are not always true. Most of the time, my thoughts either live in the future or they live in the past, but they're not present. They're not present. And what is it about the present? It's actually the only time that we have. We
Only thing is
can't get into the past
right.
physically. And the future, once we get there, guess what? It's the present.
Right.
So, in fact, the future is the present. And so, if you can live in the present, or when we live in the present, and then each moment is the present, gosh, imagine then what your future looks like. Because in the present, you're actually okay.
Always, always. I always say the future is your imagination and the past is your memory. And right now is the only time that truly exists. So if you got to make something up, make it be good. Always make it be good.
It's true because your brain will tell you all sorts of lies. You might as well tell it a lie that serves you. You know, if it's gonna tell you that, you know, You can't go anywhere because you're a mom. And that's completely not like you know, that's not true. That's the thing. You're like, wait, that's not, when you write it down, you're like, that's not true. And who told me that? Nobody. All right. So then could you tell your brain something that actually serves you? Huh. And sometimes you remember when I said, my mother used to tell me when I don't think I said this, but my mother used to said to me, oh, the boys, they like you so much, you know. Oh, you're gonna marry a rich husband, you know, like she would say those kind of things to me. And so then I had this belief in my head that I had to be liked by boys.
Right.
And that boy turned into my husband. And then I've got to do whatever it is for him to like me. Kind of
Ugh.
like the, you know, you watch the 60s shows and the housewife, it's she's vacuuming, and you know, and I am not a stay-at-home mom. I have a full-time career, but being a mother is more important than anything else to me. Being me, but you know, also being a mother. The cleaning and the cooking and and packing the lunches and all the things that a housewife would do, and also held a full-time job down. So I had this belief that I needed to have boys like me. And because I needed to have boys like me, I was doing things that were not me, but only what I thought were things that he liked. So then I had to go back and rewrite that story that I was telling myself, because it kept coming up, and it kept coming up with a ton of different thoughts, right? Like all these different thoughts were coming into my head that were attached to, he has to like you. So what do? You go back and you say to that little girl, just be you. Your mom saying that you needed to be liked by a boy to essentially be who you are is limited to where she was. It has nothing to do with you. She only wanted the best for you. She simply wanted you to be taken care of as an adult, but you don't need to be taken care of. You just need to be you. And so essentially, then you break the belief. And then you say, okay, I'm not that person anymore. Who am I now? So now you create a new identity. I'm the kind of person that just allows me to be me. And if people like that person, amazing. And if they don't, that's amazing too. How wonderful. I just get to be me.
And that those voices from our parents is deep. That's a whole nother level, because our parents, especially depending on the generation, they had a different need for men, especially your grandparents, because they weren't necessarily working all the time. It was like you look for a man who could provide for you. So you wanted to make him happy because you really wanted to keep your household together. And they have limiting beliefs that they never unpacked, and most likely they will go down to you. And I always, tell women to think about the elders in your family and what kind of messages were you given? Because I was told, like, oh, you got a husband, you got to keep his stomach full and his balls empty, girl. Like, you're like, I tried, but I don't know about all that.
Oh my
Yeah,
God.
there are some
Yes,
stories,
yes.
and or the negative ones, like men ain't shit, they're gonna dog you out, you're gonna be cheated on. And some women really believe, like, well, when you're married, it's always something. I've heard so many clients come and they say, well, I know it's always going to be something. And I'm like, where did you hear that? Let's start there. Because who said that it had to always be something negative in your relationship? That is just false,
Exactly. And there, I thought for so many years, first of all, I didn't even recognize that my husband was my life partner. I just was like, he's my husband. Ooh, I'd be like, ooh, I wonder, when we get a divorce, what kind of guy am I gonna date? Who am I gonna meet next? Oh, all the thoughts. I mean, my brain was just going everywhere. And then I realized, oh wait, this person is actually my life partner. Now, I have no idea what life has in store for me, but I know this person is my partner. And when I shifted that mindset, I had this idea that It's kind of funny because I had, it was like a tornado inside of my head because the one thing I wanted him to like me, but at the other way, I wanted to be completely independent of him so that if he did anything that remotely triggered me to believe that I needed to run, that I could have my bills paid, my children were taken care of, I had a house by myself. And so when I made enough money so that I didn't need his salary to live the lifestyle that I wanted, I was so happy. I was so happy. But I realized that I sacrificed a lot just to be able to say, I can do this on my own.
Right. It's that scarcity mindset defense mechanism.
What if I had just been me?
Right.
What if I had just used my gifts? I probably could have made even way more than I was making before by just being me and still wouldn't technically need him,
Right.
right?
I want. Yeah.
But want. And so now I'm like, honey, make a mill, bill, whatever you want. I don't mind. I just want to be me. If me makes a million or a trillion, amazing. If me makes 10,000, that's good too. If you want to be the breadwinner and bringing home all the stuff, awesome. Don't mind it at all. So essentially, I became the person that my mom was saying, but in a healthy way, because I recognize that it's okay to be in a partnership.
Yeah.
Because a partnership doesn't necessarily mean we're 50% here, we're 50% there, we're 50% here, 50% there. It means that we are relying on each other's strengths,
Right. Right.
that we are coexisting together, that we are helping each other grow,
Yeah.
that we are pointing out what makes us great, like lifting each other up.
Yeah.
That we recognize when our spouse or partner says something to us and is triggering, one, it's something in us, and two, it might be coming from a good place.
Yeah. Absolutely. Gotta always, I mean, I said this before, but when you're with a partner, especially a new one, and there's no reason to believe they're trying to hurt you, always think the best of that person and not allow what someone from the past did or what your feelings about men are so that you don't automatically jump to conclusions about what their intentions are. Because again, every person on the planet is dealing with their own trauma and lessons. And so a lot of things we take personally is not about us at all. It's really not. It's just us being in connection with someone else that's going through something, and we are reflections of each other, and they're really talking to themselves or expressing a fear. And a lot of time people yell with anger, but it's really, I'm scared. That's really what it is when you hear anger.
You're like, you need a hug, don't you?
Right.
Let me hug you.
Well, I'm sure you and I could go on and on all day, but I think I'll end it there. But I know that our conversation has incited some thoughtful wisdom in other people and questions about how can they get to know you better. So how can they find you online?
Yeah, so I have a website. My name is Nuria McGrath, which you can see there. So the website is iamnuriamcgrath.com. If you subscribe, or let me change that, when you subscribe to my mailing list, I have created an amazing, I call it an experience quiz, because it's not just clicking and answering questions. It's kind of what you were talking about with the brain. And all it takes is about 6 to 8 minutes to do this quiz. And I'm telling you, it has the potential to change your life because it's bringing you into awareness. And once you become aware that your mind is playing tricks on you, just like the Scarface song, it's actually one of my favorite songs in the entire world,
Right.
then you can make a choice to change. When you realize that your mind is literally lying to you, whole life change.
Right.
Whole life change.
Right.
Because what happens when you find out a person is lying to you, right? Whole life change. You get to make a choice. Stay in relationship with that person
Yep.
or take another path and choose you. So you can also find me on social media. I'm on Instagram, same Nuria McGrath. And I'm on Facebook, Nuria McGrath. I'd love to hear from you. I am going to be doing a webinar weekly, kind of talking about some of the things that I'm talking about, but going into the steps that you can take to free yourself from your mind. So that's
Awesome.
about it.
And I will put the link to that quiz underneath too, so that you guys can get right to it and definitely take the time to do it. This is like, it's always good, especially if you're not in awareness. When you have opportunity like this, it is divine timing. So just go ahead and take advantage of it. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with everyone and with us and allowing us into your world, right? Being vulnerable. So we really appreciate it, and it was great.
Thank you. I appreciate this platform. I love what you're doing for women. It's so important when we get to be who we are. The whole world is better. Everybody's better when women get to be women. So I'm really excited that you're providing this to women. And I hope that people hear it and make the change.
I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as I did. Now, you don't want to go away. Our next speaker is also a healer. She is a Reiki master, an EFT practitioner, life coach, and clinical certified hypnotherapist. And she is here to teach you how to reconnect to your authentic self and heal those emotional blockages. So I will see you over there.